Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. I never preached on this chapter. Thought we'd try it today. Today is the day when we celebrate one of God's greatest gifts to the world, our mothers. I thank the Lord for my mother. Godly women are the backbone of the home and of the church. Without godly women, their work, their influence, and their abilities, we'd have to shut the doors of the church and declare the home an unfit place to live. Without taking away from the joys, rewards, and those extra special moments of motherhood, the daily tasks of that assignment can be very trying. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. I thought that was good. There is so much to know as well as to learn about this matter of being a good mother. It doesn't simply just happen once you have a child. There's a Mother's Day card that on the front reads, Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day. Jean and I like to look at cards, and we go into the store and we look at cards and we laugh. This was kind of a cute one. It said, Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say to me every day. And then when you open it up, it says, God help you if you ever do that again. Sorry. That's funny. That just struck my funny bone. Kids can be challenging, but they are precious gifts from God. There's an enormous amount of work to being a mother, for sure, more than most of us will ever realize. So today, Mom, we honor you. We honor you today, Mom. While I will be preaching what could be classified as a Mother's Day message, I want to include all women under the umbrella of what I'm going to say today. When God made woman, he was finished with his creation. Woman was the last creative act of God. Now, a lot of funny things come to my mind about that, but I'm going to keep that to myself. So don't say I said. You can make of it what you will. But woman was the last creative act of God. Here is something most of us never think about. This passage causes many women to have nightmares because they know they do not measure up to the exalted view of this godly woman. This high picture of excellence here in Proverbs 31 sets such a high standard that it can be depressing to godly women today until its purpose is understood. And I hope I can bring that forth today. I hope you can understand that. I hope it doesn't discourage you today. It's not meant to. The fact is, this passage is a goal to striving for, not a standard by which to judge your life. If you see areas where you need improvement, get to work on those areas. Remember this one truth. You're human. No one expects perfection from you. You are allowed to make mistakes. You are allowed to be you. The message today is not designed to put down women. Instead, it is designed to put them where they belong, on a pedestal. It's designed to speak to husbands, children, and families, to remind them to just how important godly women truly are. Interesting thing, I did not know about this chapter, which I'm going to share with you, that verses 10 through 31 are an alphabetic acrostic in Hebrew. That means, in the literal Hebrew language, each verse begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet, and it's in order. I thought that was interesting. I wrote, isn't God cool? I also wrote here, maybe King Lemuel's wife did that, King Lemuel's mother did that so he could remember her instructions more easily. I don't know. I don't know why it's like that. But look at Proverbs 31, verse 1. I thought this was interesting. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Of all the decisions that life demands, the most important one, of course, is the decision to receive Christ, to trust him as Lord and Savior. An important part of that is reverencing God and submitting to him in obedience. As pointed out elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, this is known as the fear of the Lord. This decision to fear the Lord and to receive Christ into your heart determines our destiny, not only in this life, but also in eternity. I hope each one of you knows Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you've taken that time to ask him into your heart and to forgive your sin. The second most important decision in life is our choice of a spouse. Like all mothers, Lemuel's mother desired happiness and success for her son. She realized that his happiness and success would be largely determined by his selection of a wife. This is her advice about what kind of woman he should marry. It stands as a timeless guide for all young men and as an enduring model for all young women. His mom just wanted to give him some guidelines to go about picking out a wife, which I thought was interesting. And just for the record, I couldn't find too much about this King Lemuel or his mother. There's a lot of speculation about who he was and who his mother was. But this is very interesting. The excellent woman described is the example of all the wisdom instruction contained in the previous 30 chapters of Proverbs. Thus, this is a portrait of an exceptionally wise woman who fears the Lord. Verse 30. Wisdom is to be learned, but more importantly, it is to be lived. The most important place wisdom is to be lived out, demonstrated, and taught is in the home. And because family relationships are the most important relationships in life, the character of the wife and mother is of utmost importance. Here is how a wise woman conducts herself within and outside of her home. As a matter of fact, I have never done a sermon with 10 points. I tried to get it under 3 hours. I hope that works out. 10 points in this crazy sermon. But this passage was written in praise of godly womanhood. We'll notice just several thoughts that present themselves in this passage this morning. First of all, if you're looking at the sermon outline, I want to look at point number 2, her standing. If you're taking notes, point A is her price. If you're taking notes, her price. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The word virtuous refers to the strength of an army. It refers to a person who is strong. Her character and integrity. She has character and integrity. Such a woman is more valuable than all the wealth of the world. This is why Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. If God has placed within your life a good, godly woman, he has blessed you with something more valuable than any material possession. Secondly, point B is her perfection. Let's look at verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. What that's saying is the godly woman is trustworthy, and she always has the best interests of those she loves on her heart. Her husband and all those around her are blessed by and benefit from her diligence. Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. She's exactly what God designed her to be, a helpmate, which tells us in Genesis 2:18. She is his completer. I like that. See her plan. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This kind of woman is an asset, not a liability to her husband and family. Good comes to him that can be directly attributed to her. She supports and encourages him, and she is faithful in helping him all her life. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. I like that. And as I thought about that, I thought, who could we use as an example of that in the Bible? I thought of Abigail. Abigail in 1 Samuel chapter 25. She did her best to help her husband, but he was a fool because he would not listen to her advice. And it ultimately cost him his life. 3, her sacrifices. Point A, if you're taking notes, she gives of her talents. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Skip down to verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She labors, she shops, she cooks, she keeps the house, keeps the home. She is a giver of the abilities God has graced her with, and her family benefits from her gracious gift. What would your house be without the ceaseless and selfless labor of the godly woman God has given to you? B, she gives of her time, verses 15 and 18. Let's just read those two verses. She also rises up while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Verse 18 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She takes care of the necessary details of the home. She rises early and she works late. She tends to the needs of her children, her husband, and the others in her household. She is there when they are hungry, when they are sick, and when they are broken, and when they need someone to give them care. She gives her life for those she loves. Then let's just look at her service, verses 19 through 25. If you're taking notes, point A is she labors. Look at verse 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry of herself for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. And 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Most men and children have no idea of the work a woman does. They just seem to know what to do. Men, children, we need to be sure we all do our part to help around the house. Just for the record, there's no such thing as women's work, for sure. B, she loves. Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. The godly woman is moved by her compassion to make a difference in the lives of others. She has a heart for people that actually sometimes I lack. She sees needs that I often do not see. She reaches out in countless ways to help others. Imagine a world without that kind of heart. If it was a world filled with men, that kind of compassion would be missing. Thank God for good, godly women, for sure. Her speech, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. If you're taking notes, she guides. She stands by to help those who need the benefit of her intuition and her wisdom. She offers counsel to her husband and to her children. Wise are the individuals who listen to the counsel of godly women. God is placed in our lives. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like the apples of gold in the pictures of silver. B, she is gentle. She has a way of soothing the hurts of life. Whether it's the boo-boo suffered by the child or the hard blows of life that have left her mate defeated, she has the power to lift others with the gentle medicine of her tender spirit. I thank God for the times my wife has lifted my heart with the right word at the right time. 6, her selflessness, verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Point A is she watches. She keeps her eyes on those who have been given to her to love. She watches their lives to be sure that they have what they need and that they are walking the right path. B, she works. Whatever needs to be done, she is willing to do it. Her primary concern is that the needs of her family are met. The book of Proverbs speaks of a contrast between the wise woman and the foolish woman. The Proverbs 31 woman does everything in her power to build up her home, while the foolish woman seems to be doing everything in her power to destroy the things she has been given. I'll just throw this verse out, Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Point number 7, her satisfaction. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. My daughters have done well, but you excel them all. In any loving, properly functioning family, all the members recognize the value of the others in the family. In this case, the children and the husband declare the excellency or the invaluable contribution the godly woman had made in their lives. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. Point A, her young ones praise her. Those in whom she has invested her life stand up and publicly praise their godly mother. How long has it been since you said thanks to your mom? Only foolish children treat their mothers badly. Only foolish children refuse to honor the godly woman who has been such a blessing to their lives. Leviticus 29 says, For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. B, her spouse praises her. The husband who has received so much from this special woman in his life also praises her for the blessing she has been to him. Men, we have a duty to our wives. Here's the Lord's command to us, and Paul read this earlier this morning. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25 and 26. If God has given you a good, godly wife, you should love her selflessly, unconditionally, and sacrificially. God did not give you your wife so that you could have someone to dominate. He gave you a woman so that you could demonstrate his love to her like he demonstrated his love to us. Some of you men probably need to ask the Lord to forgive you for the way you have acted. Then you need to apologize to your wife and ask her to forgive you. If you have been a blessing, if you have been blessed with a godly, good wife, you need to let her know. Let her know that you love her, appreciate her, and that you are thankful for her. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." 1 Peter 3:7. Point 8, her secret, verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. If you're taking notes, point A is she despises compliment. This woman does not do the things she does for the praise of men. Hers is a labor of love. She is not seeking the passing praise of others. She is seeking the good of others she has been entrusted to care for. Just because she's not seeking it doesn't mean she does not deserve it. B, she deplores conceit. She knows that the true beauty is not the artificial adornment of the face, hair, and body. She knows that true beauty runs far deeper. She knows that outer beauty will fade. She knows that the body she had in her youth will change. So she pays more attention to the beauty inside. She adorns the person she truly is with love, grace, goodness, and peace. Because she pays more attention to her inner woman than the one of the outside, her true beauty grows greater, and she becomes increasingly more beautiful in the eyes of her family as the years pass. 1 Peter 3:4 says, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." 1 Peter 3:3 and 4. See, she is devoted to Christ. The true secret of her beauty, her love, and her ability to be a blessing to her loved ones is found in her faith. Because she is a woman who loves the Lord, she has the ability to allow the Lord to love through her. She is a blessing to others because she walks with him. The walk of faith is far more powerful that we will understand. 1 Peter 3:1-2, I just want to read that. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Are you a lady today that's married to a husband that does not know Christ as his Savior? Are you living a devoted life to Christ? Your life can lead him to the Lord. He really can. Don't give up. Then verse 31 says in closing, "Give her of the fruit of her hands." That is, in due time, she will be rewarded. Ladies, your husbands and children may never honor you like they could or like they should. But God in heaven is taking careful notice of your life and love. Nothing you do goes unnoticed, nor will it go unrewarded. Revelation 22:12 says, Jesus said this, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." And then when he says man, he means man and woman. Let me encourage you to keep loving, keep giving, keep sacrificing, and keep serving. Your task may appear thankless at times, but one day at the end of the road of life, you will hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Isn't it way past time when we rose up and called our mothers, our wives, the women of our church blessed? They deserve our praise. After all, they already have the Lord's. Verse 31. So here's the invitation this morning. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, I invite you to come to him today. He died to save sinners just like you from his wrath and from the fires of hell. And I hope each one knows Jesus Christ is their Savior. Is there some special lady in your life that you are thankful for today? You should pray for them, thank God for them, and then go tell them what they mean to you. There are husbands and wives who need to come before the Lord and ask him to forgive them for the bad shape they have allowed their relationship to be in. Come together, recommit to one another, to working together, to making that relationship everything it should be. And then maybe you need to ask the Lord to help you with your attitude or with some other area of your life. If he's spoken to you today, please go to him and let him have his way. Mom, happy Mother's Day. I pray your day will be special. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, for our wives and for our moms. And I just thank you, Lord, for them. And I just pray, Lord, for each one. I pray that you'd bless each one today. I know there's some, Lord, that's moms are in heaven now. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just remember them today and praise them for who they were. And I just thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray, Lord, you just give us each a safe trip home. And I just pray, Lord, that we would live our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.